This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
Oh, yeah!
Hit it!
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
Shotgun for Rodgers. Sidearms went over the middle. Caught! Touchdown, Pittsburgh Steelers.
Oh, is that sweet!
So then let's talk about the fit of Rodgers and the Steelers, Jerry. How is Rodgers a fit?
The Rich Eisen Show.
Rich, I really don't think he is.
Today's guests. NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero. Boise State defensive end Ahmed Hassani. Plus, what's more likely, latest news and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, it is. Welcome to this Friday edition of The Rich Eisen Show, live from Los Angeles, California, right here on the Roku Sports Channel, this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate on the Infinity Sports Network, smart enough to have a Sirius XM Odyssey and more. We say hello from our studios. Lots going on, as always. The final throes of the tournament competition before the brackets come out on Sunday. You've got the NBA heating up a bit. You got the Ovechkin watch that entered Los Angeles last night and left it the same way as the Kings shut out the Caps. We've got lots to talk about with you at 844-204-RICH being the number to dial. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you?
Rich, what's up, man?
Jay Felly, I mentioned hockey just for you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. I wasn't aware yet.
Perked up.
You just did that hockey. You were like, wait a minute, I don't understand. Like, it doesn't compute. Good to see you. That's all we're going to talk about.
All right.
Good to see you, Jay. How are you? Good to see
doing
you, TJ.
Great.
How are you?
I'm straight. How you guys doing?
I am doing great. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. Tom Pelissero joining us in 20 minutes' time. I'll be honest with you, when the week started, didn't think that we'd hit Tom's segment on our Friday show, first segment, guest segment, 20 minutes in, with Aaron Rodgers not having made a decision, but such is the case right now.
All right.
Waiting on him, wherever he is, in Malibu, staring into space, into the abyss, wondering which is the right decision for him. And so the Vikings are waiting on him, apparently, but definitely the Steelers and the Giants waiting on him. Russell Wilson was in Cleveland yesterday. And last time we saw the Browns press conference room active was yesterday when they introduced Kenny Pickett to the Cleveland media. And Pickett says he believes he's a starter in this league, fully is aware that a veteran is coming in. And sure enough, the irony in the building was the guy who showed up in the building in Pittsburgh this time last year, and Pickett's like, get me out of here.
Peace. Now look at
him. Oh, man.
Russell Wilson's presence in Pittsburgh was the reason why he said, get me out. And he shows up in Cleveland, who acquires him from the spot that Pittsburgh deposited him because he wanted his exit visa. And now Cleveland acquires him from Philadelphia, and as he's being introduced, in the building is Russell Wilson. And in the building, talking to Russell Wilson about becoming a Cleveland Brown, apparently, was none other than a guy who, as of 1 week ago today, we were talking about with Tom Pelissero, asking to speak to the owner of the Cleveland Browns and was told, no, you may not have a meeting. And we were talking about Jimmy Haslam's sourpuss closed-door policy.
You'll get nothing in like it.
And within 48 hours, we learned about Jimmy Haslam's open wallet policy and the closed door policy.
Better policy.
And the apparent door that Myles Garrett had closed because he thought the door had closed on being able to win a Super Bowl championship in Cleveland had closed. And Myles Garrett yesterday was telling Russell Wilson Cleveland's a great place to play. Join us and help us win. As the guy who showed up in the AFC North last year and went from 4-2 and 10-3 for the Pittsburgh Steelers, was in the building, just as the guy who asked out of his previous building in the AFC North because Russ had walked into it, was meeting with the media talking about, I think I'm a starter. What the hell's going on in Cleveland is basically what I'm saying.
Wow.
That's unbelievable. I don't think I missed anything.
What the hell going on?
Thank you.
So today, Myles Garrett is showing up. And he's introduced to the Cleveland media as the first $40 million a year non-quarterback in the history of the National Football League. And there's a circle that needs to be squared. That circle was the wagons during Super Bowl week of Team Myles Garrett, around Myles Garrett, saying, hey, if he sits down, you're going to ask him about his trade demand. And the answer that came back from this very mouth was, yeah. And Myles kindly showed up to our program 2 days after announcing via his channels that he wants out of Cleveland. He's asked out of Cleveland, and he wants out of Cleveland because he thinks you can't win in Cleveland any longer. And he wants to go somewhere to win, and he showed up and basically said he wants out. Now here he is, as a $40 million a year player in Cleveland, saying, in part, that talking to shows like this one helped get him this contract.
So,
dude,
where's
hold
our...
on a second. Hold on a minute. Hold your powder, just, sir. Hold.
Okay.
Influencer.
Hold. I mean, there's a feather. You could have knocked me over this morning when I heard this soundbite at his press conference when he was asked about that whole you can't win here thing and how should that sit with Cleveland fans now that you're here still.
Well, what happened was.
Roll it.
Like I said, that media road run. No, that created a more discourse between myself and management. No, that created conversation between myself and AB, Jimmy, and up and down the chain, and that kind of stuff. Became a main variable for this deal getting done. These conversations down the road. So I think the fans will see that. My heart's in the right place. It's never been about money. It's always been about winning, and that's where my frustration lies. And I want to thank Nicole because, she's the best agent in the world. And I didn't have any really input on how the deal was going to look. But I just know that when the time came and we all we're on the same page, that she went on and did what she does and got the best deal possible for myself and for the Browns.
All right. First things first here. What's with the toy dinosaur?
That's what I said.
I think that's a Myles Garrett thing.
Like it?
Yep.
Radio audience, there were these toy dinosaurs that I loved as a kid when I wound up being taken by my parents and my school to a trip to the Natural History Museum of New York City. I would buy those. My God, it was great. I love the Stegosaurus, Triceratops. I digress.
They also had dinosaur cupcakes.
Got it.
Easier to step on.
You know what?
There's still money left over to buy him some cupcakes.
Sure. Is there?
All I'm wondering is, listen, Nicole, he's referring to Nicole Lynn, his agent.
She's
do I get a cut? Yeah. I mean, he said it was shows like this one that started the process, which is kind of not what we heard on the day of the interview.
Just like a smidge, like a 0.5% or
just
something.
Saying. You know what I mean? Just
wet my beak.
Yeah, a little bit. I like Toy Dinosaurs on the desk too.
I like cupcakes.
I love you.
Jay Felly.
Listen, I explained it before. We all have a number. We all got a number. Certainly when you're staring in the face 4 or 5 months of holdout hell. Who wants holdout hell? No one wants holdout hell. No one wants holdout hell. The Browns don't want holdout hell. The player doesn't want holdout hell. The agent doesn't want holdout hell. No one wants to be in that holdout hell. Because that would have been the conversation all week long, is who's trading for Myles Garrett and who didn't trade for Myles Garrett and why didn't they trade Myles Garrett and shouldn't they get the draft choices for Myles Garrett? And that may be a conversation down the road. And the same thing with Myles Garrett, too. Conversation down the road. If the Browns don't perform well this year or next and they're in the quarterback hell. The Pickett slash maybe Russ plan that couldn't coexist in Pittsburgh suddenly could coexist in Cleveland. I guess that's what taking a victory formation in Philadelphia can do to a guy. You know, that whatever they couldn't coexist in Cleveland and Pittsburgh could coexist in Cleveland, but that doesn't work out. And then Deshaun's coming back saying, hey, I've got a repaired Achilles in a 40 some odd million dollar 1 year deal that's left. And why not try me one more time? Give me the opportunity you gave Pickett and Russ. Let's see how that goes. And if that doesn't work out, maybe they get Cam Ward anyway. And he's lurking behind the Pickett-Russ scene. And then he's there when Deshaun is raising his hand saying, I got a repaired Achilles and all that sort of stuff. And if all that doesn't work out, then they'll come back to Miles and say, is the $40 million worth it? And his answer probably would be, sure it is. You know why? Have you seen my home?
$40 million.
You know? But all that said is it still won't erase Miles saying, oh. It's always been about winning here. It's never been about the money. After the money arrives, after he says it's only about the winning, and that's a very difficult circle to square. But that's something he can deal with. He's a, as I saw in person, a very big dude. He can handle it with a thick skin and an armor, and he's going to the Hall of Fame and all of that stuff. And, you know, he can live with it. But he's going to have to, because this is the conversation that's going to be had about him. Especially, you know, when he was asked point blank if a Super Bowl needs to happen in order for the contract to be worth it.
Do you need to win a Super Bowl here for this to be the right decision for you to sign that extension?
Long pause.
I think we all play the game to win a Super Bowl. So whether it's for, you know, this dollar amount or any dollar amount, I think that's what we get into the game for regardless. So I'm not worried about whether that's the right decision or not. No, that's always been the plan since day one.
Do you feel now that you want to finish your career in Cleveland? And if so, might this be even more meaningful to you than ever before?
I mean, as I said earlier, I've always wanted to end my career. You know, the team I started with, I wanted to end with, and with the contract now, that'll likely be how things go for as long as they'll have me. So I'm glad to be here, and I'm glad to have the support of Cleveland. And for those who may have taken a step back, like I said, I'll continue to change their opinions with my play and what I continue to do day in and day out.
On second thought, I loved Brontosaurus as a kid, too. I've just seen that Brontosaurus.
Yeah, the big neck.
Listen, he's a good dude, man. He's one to root for. He just was sitting there, and he thought to himself, this sucks. We're not going to win here right now. And you know what? I'm hanging out at the Pro Bowl. I'm seeing everybody coming off of their championship runs and them talking to the Eagles that are there. And, you know, I want out. And then the Browns say, we're not letting you out. And here's $40 million a year. And who's listening to me would say no to that? You know, I get it. I totally get it. And now he doesn't have to answer these questions anymore. I've answered them. And as he said, did you hear what he said to Russell apparently when he was asked, what was your sell pitch to Russ to come here? And he says, I want to have to put you on the ground 3-4 times a year. You know what I mean?
It's just, come here and I won't hurt you.
By the way, that's a very effective approach.
I sold.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Okay. Uncle, where's the dotted line?
Yeah.
Especially since I'm not going to be sitting around waiting for Aaron Rodgers to make a decision. Russ can jump. So, you know, and the plan for Browns fans, they might be sitting there going, is his heart really into it or not? He's going to sack the free world and you're going to enjoy it. The question is will there be more W's than L's in the standings? And how will that affect Myles Garrett down the road? Do you care about down the road now in 2025? Probably not. But in 2025, what is going to be the situation at quarterback? Period. End of story. And now Miles can, when he's asked about this down, I've been asked it. I'm done. He went through the question crucible today in which some of the answers don't square the circle, but he'll go home and just turn the page and be Myles Garrett. Good dude in the community. Good dude in his world. And I'll be waiting for my cut.
If Russ signs, does Kenny Pickett want backseats on the trade? Or
maybe he'll go to Pittsburgh in the way that all this craziness is happening. I want out. How much? I don't want to be here because Russ is here. Oh, I'm here on the day Russ is here being introduced. As the starter in Cleveland, Pickett, as a quarterback in Cleveland, was being introduced. I can't make this up, but that's why I love the NFL, why you love the NFL, why we all do. Can't make it up.
Crazy.
Tom Pelissero is going to join us. I think I've just laid it all out. And, Lewis Riddick joins us in hour 3. As a palate cleanser, if that's what you need, there is a combine draft story, Ahmed Hassanin, who 5 years ago was sitting in the country of Egypt wondering what is the National Football League, and now through Boise State's experience with him and he with it is in line to be drafted in the NFL. It's a great story, and he will bring it to us personally in hour 2. What's more likely as well, and TJ Jefferson. Tank Lawrence is a Seahawk because he doesn't think he can win a Super Bowl in Dallas. And Micah Parsons clapped back. And I have my 2 cents on that subject matter.
I bet.
Later on. What say you? 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Tom Pelissero will be joining us next. Tommy P.
Yeah.
I don't know how he sleeps at night having all the background of all the stuff I just said.
This episode brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever find yourself playing the budgeting game? Shifting a little money here, a little there, and hoping it all works out? Well, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive, you can get a better budgeter and potentially lower your insurance bill too. You tell Progressive what you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll help find you options within your budget. Try it today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. Not available in all states.
At the Hyundai Getaway Sales Event, get deals so right, it almost feels wrong. Now is the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty and 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Think again. But don't wait. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on now. So visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai. Some people just know they could save hundreds on car insurance by checking Allstate first. The same way you know you've got to make sure your lucky jersey is clean on game day or your team might lose. Checking first is smart. So check Allstate first for a quote that could save you hundreds. You're in good hands with Allstate. Savings vary, subject to terms, conditions, and availability. Allstate Fire and Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates, Northbrook, Illinois. Gents, the Kelce brothers got a scoop, a big scoop, an entertainment news scoop.
I love that.
The New Heights pod, white hot to the touch. Sitting down with Jason Sudeikis. Jason says to Jason, love Ted Lasso. Is there going to be a season four? Remember when Sudeikis was here, there was a possibility, didn't know, whatever.
Yeah, but he was big on, like, you know, this story has been told.
Right. But maybe.
Right.
Well, maybe he's turned into a writer's room that's active and Apple TV tweeting out today. Official. Season four.
Ah.
And I love this.
Nice.
Unreal.
Idea. Like, the seats in the open, the show open. Right. And it's seat four. Great idea.
Great idea.
With Ted Lasso on it. I love it.
Can't wait.
The Lasso Twitter account that has been dormant is now active. We saw this one. Finally found the dang password to this thing. Sorry, all what I miss. 2.5 million views of that.
That's pretty perfect.
And,
that is perfect.
Sudeikis told the Kelces that season four will start in Kansas because Ted left the team to go back home to Kansas. And I don't know how he does get back to the UK, but he will, and he's going to coach the women's, I think, AFC Richmond women's team.
Amazing.
And
can't wait.
According to the entertainment trades, the only one who's not yet secured is Phil Dunster's not yet returned. Mm. Well, other than that, I think everybody's back.
Scheduling conflict is what I saw.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe they'll give him the Miles Garrett plan and the scheduling conflict will just go away. I told you Miles was going to turn me into a cynic. And I got to stop. I got to stop with that.
I don't think you're going to.
Because Ted Lasso is not a cynic.
No.
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 That Ted Lasso is back. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network. I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Back here on the program, our Friday favorite. He's Tom Pelissero. He's back on the show. Good to see you, Tommy P. How are you? Good to see you.
What's up to my boys in the studio?
Tommy P. Let's go.
What up, Doe?
That's lovely.
Never misses.
What's going on?
Thank you.
What's going on with Aaron Rodgers, Tom? What's going on?
Aaron Rodgers has decisions to make. And I think that if you go back through the process Aaron Rodgers has gone through, really, I mean, going back to 5 years ago and the conversations with the Packers and how things played out there and some of the uncertainty, you know, he's in a different stage in his life. It is, you know, I know the comparisons are constant, but it's not unlike what was going on with Brett Favre toward the end of his career, where every year there was an evaluation process and thinking about what was going to be best for him and what he wanted to do. And those answers are not always quick to come. So at this point, the two options that Aaron Rodgers has in terms of the teams that are ready and willing to sign him are the Steelers and the Giants. The Steelers have made clear that that's their priority at this point, that they are willing to wait this thing out while also making contingency plans, like re-signing Mason Rudolph yesterday. The Giants also are under the impression that they still have an opportunity here. Rodgers obviously makes his home in New Jersey. It would not be a long move for him. They may have more challenges than the Steelers in terms of being competitive in 2025, but they are still also interested in Aaron Rodgers. And then obviously you have the other options, one being you either wait or walk away altogether and simply say, I'm not going to sign anywhere right now, and kind of let the rest of these chips fall, see how you're feeling through the course of the spring and the summer, see what opportunities might arise between now and then. And then you've got the long shot things like Minnesota that I would not say at this point, Rich, I cannot definitively tell you they're out, but I would also not say they're in And the idea that they're negotiating with Aaron Rodgers or actively trying to bring him in is overstated, let's put it that way. Him and Kevin O'Connell have a relationship. They're about the same age. They're both California guys. They do talk. But the Vikings also have J.J. McCarthy, the number 10 overall pick from last year, who they want to make sure that whatever they do at the quarterback position, it's with J.J. McCarthy's short, medium, and long-term future in mind here. And so you've got a lot of moving parts, but the first biggest thing, and what Aaron Rodgers has not definitively told everyone, is, yes, I 100% am all in, not just on playing in the season, but I'm going to be there through the spring on another new team, working with the receivers, learning the offense, going through all the different things to get ready. And again, going back to the Favre comparison, I'll remind everybody that after Favre's Jets year, the Vikings were the team that everyone believed he was going to. Favre did not sign that year until August 18th. It was 2 weeks into the preseason when he popped into town, and it was one of the more memorable things that's happened in Minnesota sports history. I'm not saying that's the route that Aaron Rodgers is going to take, but just given his age, he's 41, he's got a lot of other things in his life. He can make a decision an hour from now, or it might take a while.
So when we see the paparazzi photos on the beach and the dramatic sort of White Lotus image here, is he pondering his future as a player? Like, is he thinking maybe not playing? Are you hearing that? Is that possible?
I wouldn't say it's a binary decision. It's about the places that you're going to be. Mm-hmm. I mean, remember Aaron Rodgers going back to the start of last year when he was coming off the Achilles, he was talking about being a Jet for two or three more years. He was talking about, you know, staying in one place. And then for a variety of reasons, including the fact that he did not play well for a good chunk of the season, the Jets moved on without him. They signed Justin Fields, and now he's got to figure out a new part to this plan. I think that in Aaron Rodgers' mind, and only he ultimately knows what's going on in there, but he foresaw a beautiful ending coming back from the Achilles. And, you know, I mean, he tried to come back at the end of 2023 if somehow they had made the playoffs. He was thinking 2024 he was going to come back and reestablish himself, and they were going to have a good 2-3 year run with a young core in New York. Instead, they went 5-12. Everybody got fired, and he got cut. I mean, that's not the way that he envisioned this thing ending. Certainly, you know, the communication the teams have had, the involved teams, have been through his agent, Dave Dunn. It's not Aaron Rodgers on the phone with everybody constantly talking through these things. So right now, it's a waiting game. And the real question then becomes, when does Aaron Rodgers make a decision? And before that, do any of those involved teams pivot? Are any of those teams pushed to pivot by pressure points like the fact that Russell Wilson was visiting the Browns yesterday, and today he's with the Giants? I don't know that they made Russell Wilson an offer. If they did, I don't know that. But certainly, if there's an opportunity for him to go to Cleveland, that might speed up the process for some other teams. I would say the most likely scenario here, Rich, and this is a moving target in a lot of different ways, the most likely scenario, if Rodgers is playing, is that he's playing for the Pittsburgh Steelers. They've not been told definitively one way or the other. But the Steelers, by virtue of signing Mason Rudolph, bought themselves some time here. Because now, worst case, if this doesn't work out with Rodgers, you could just roll with Mason Rudolph, who, let's be honest, over the last several years with all the quarterback changes since Ben Roethlisberger retired, probably the best stretch of football they've played as an offense was down the stretch in 2023 when Mason Rudolph took over after multiple other quarterbacks, Pickett and Trubisky, had not been able to sustain a level of play. They played well. He got the ball to George Pickens. They went to the playoffs and he started a playoff game. I do think that there's a scenario. I can't tell you exactly what the percentage of likelihood it is, but I do think there's a scenario where other things fall through and the Steelers roll with Mason Rudolph and maybe a draft pick atop their depth chart in 2025.
Yeah, and then where does Kirk Cousins lurk in all this? What's the pressure point there? Because I think you mentioned St. Patrick's Day. Something's going on that day with his contract and what he's owed. And, you know, because if he is available in any way, shape, or form, that changes the rubric for choices for all other teams as well, I would imagine.
Well, it's a unique situation, and it has been since 6 weeks after they signed Kirk Cousins to a contract with $100 million in guarantees. They drafted Michael Penix, his successor. From that point forward, an hour after Kirk's waving a towel on stage at the draft party and then gets a call, hey, we're taking Penix, everything figured to play out in an unusual way that we've really not seen in the NFL. So just to level set, they paid Kirk Cousins $62.5 million in the first year of his deal for one season and whatever it was, 13 starts before he got benched. They owe him another $27.5 million, fully guaranteed in 2025. That additional vesting that you're referring to is a 2026 payment of $10 million that flips from an injury guarantee to full guarantee if he's still on the roster effectively by 4 p.m. on Saturday. Well, the Falcons' viewpoint on that is if Kirk Cousins is playing in 2026 somewhere, he's probably making over $10 million. That's subject to offsets. We're probably not going to be paying it anyway. So that date, to hear the Falcons' perspective on this, that date doesn't ultimately matter. You still, though, and then if you are going to come to a point, it's apparent at this point they're not planning to release him, at least not prior to that bonus becoming vested tomorrow. Then now you're talking about, do they release him somewhere down the line? That seems unlikely because then you've paid the guy, or you owe him $90 to $100 million because he'd probably signed for the minimum somewhere for one season of action. That seems unlikely. The other scenario would be you get Kirk Cousins on board with a trade because he's got a no trade clause. You basically come to him when all these other dominoes fall and there's only a couple of starting jobs left and say, hey, if you want to start, here's the spot. You got to waive your no trade. We're going to split the money, or the new team will pick up the money, whatever it is, you'll get paid, but you got to go along with this or else we're just going to hang on to you. And at that point, what does Kirk Cousins decide to do? He's got a young family. He's got young children. If this were a trade deadline thing, does he even want to move his family in October, or does he just ride it out behind Michael Penix? I mean, these are all questions. I know this. Kirk Cousins wants to play. He wants to not go out like he did last season. He wants another opportunity a year removed now from his Achilles injury to show, hey, I was not 100% physically. It was a challenging situation. I can still play football. That's Kirk's mentality at this point. We've not gotten to the point where the Falcons have come to him and said, hey, here's your opportunity. Will you work with us on this? I do believe that there are going to be at least one, maybe multiple teams that will make a run at this at some point. But right now, from everything I've heard, Rich, the Falcons aren't really engaging on that. They're not ready to simply make a move with Kirk Cousins. And until the Falcons and Cousins agree that there's an opportunity for him to take, everybody's got to be on board with it, or else nothing's going to happen. I mean, this is going to be something that it could be resolved in a week, or it could be resolved literally months from now, just depending how these teams let it play out.
Tom Pelissero here on the Rich Eisen Show. A team that doesn't get mentioned at all, Rodgers, Cousins, Russ, anything, or the draft for that matter, for a quarterback, are like the Titans, and they hold the top card in the draft. What is their plan right now? Like 6 weeks from now, we'll know what it is, because this will be the day after the draft, day one, night one in Green Bay. What is going on with them, and how does everything that we just discussed splash into the draft and vice versa, Tom?
I would say, Rich, and I can't tell you specifically what the conversations are in the Titans building on this. They hold the number one pick. They're going to be certainly waiting to see, does anybody blow us away with a huge trade offer? But you're right. They've not been engaged at any high level on any of these top free agent quarterbacks or trade quarterbacks that potentially are available. People within the league believe that's a strong sign that all this stuff is a dog and pony show and they're going to take Cam Ward number one and roll with him. That doesn't mean that's 100% their plan. If somebody, let's say the Giants come to them and offer, we're going to give you our next three first-round picks and multiple second-round picks and go up to number one because we want Cam Ward. If you're Mike Borgonzi and Chad Brinker and ownership and Brian Callahan, you probably go, okay, hold on, let's talk about this now. But they're not locking themselves into anything. I would say, and I haven't done my deep dive on the quarterbacks yet like I do before the draft every year, but I would say the prevailing opinion within the league is that Cam Ward is clearly the number one quarterback in this draft. If you're going to stand in and take one at number one, it's probably Cam Ward. Could they be a player for Kirk Cousins somewhere down the line? You know, never say never on something like that. Would they have been in play for Derek Carr if the Saints didn't decide, essentially if Derek Carr didn't call the Saints bluff and say, I don't think you're really going to cut me. You're going to pay me the whole $40 million here. I'm not taking a pay cut. You know, he had connections there with Brian Callahan. They were together with the Raiders, wherever the Raiders were playing, I think in Oakland at that time. Could that have been a possibility? I think all these things could have been possibilities, but right now they're not involved again at any high level on bringing in Aaron Rodgers. I don't anticipate he goes there. I don't really see Russell Wilson going there. There's not been anything substantive to Kirk Cousins going there. So your best bet at this point is they're going to take Cam Ward. We've still got 41 days until the NFL draft begins, and this will be one of the fun storylines that we're continuing to monitor.
Tom Pelissero, what is Cooper Kupp's market right now, and how's he shopping, best you can tell?
There were about a dozen teams that I was told had checked in on Cooper Kupp over the past, really a month plus since it became apparent that he and the Rams were going separate ways. The challenging part for the Rams trading him was he had $20 million that he was due, and trading a guy who's 31 years old, he's been hurt 3 years in a row, making $20 million, and you got to give up a draft pick, that was going to be a challenge. You know, flip that now to free agency. Now all of a sudden you don't have to give up a draft pick. There are teams that have been engaged, but let's be very clear, Rich. Cooper Kupp is not coming cheap here. He's going to get a significant amount of money. If I had to guess, it's probably somewhere around $15 million is what he would be looking at on the open market. Is somebody willing to step up and pay that? Does it come in a little bit underneath that? That's what he and his agent, Ryan Tolner, are navigating here. Again, there have been a bunch of teams that have checked in. I know that there have been people who have speculated about the Cowboys. I am not under the impression that the Cowboys are a realistic fit for Cooper Kupp. Certainly the Seahawks, back in his hometown, he grew up in Yakima, Washington, went to Eastern Washington. They're a team that would make a ton of sense from a lot of different perspectives. There have been other teams like the Saints that have been involved on this as well. I do think this is going to come to a head sooner than later, but if Cooper Kupp doesn't have his number, the amount of money that he's willing to play for, then he can string this out as long as he wants to. There's no rush because there's not another Cooper Kupp on the market right now. There's really not a lot of receivers. You do have a bunch of guys who are older in their career right now, like Keenan Allen is out there. Amari Cooper is out there. Brandon Cooks is sitting out there. So you do have some of those guys, but they're all kind of in the same bucket where they're probably 1 year and 10 to 15 million. That's probably what you're paying those guys. Everybody's got different needs. Those guys fit in different spots in a receiver group. But Cooper Kupp is pretty unique because when he's been healthy, and he's been beat up for three straight years, but when he's healthy, when he's on the field, you still can see flashes of this guy's one of the most unique receivers in the NFL.
So what is the Cowboys' plan, Tom? And I'm not saying that as a troll. I swear to God, at all. You know, Rico Dowdle runs for 1,000 yards last year. He walks to Carolina, and then they take Miles Sanders, who's, got more
tread. And Javonte Williams.
Right, and Javonte Williams, right. Like that, and Cowboys fans that are looking for the splash, they're not going to get the splash again, it appears. And the question is what is the Cowboys' plan to supplement Dak and CeeDee Lamb, knowing that Micah needs to be paid at some point, right? Unless they don't. Hey, Micah, what is their plan on all of that, Tom?
Well, the splash period is over in free agency. You can still make a trade.
Well, Cooper
Kupp
would be a splash. Cooper Kupp would be a splash.
It would be a splash in terms of the unrestricted free agents. So the guys who hit the market, like those are gone. There's no one else who's going to get a huge payday other than, again, some of those older receivers and edge rushers on like a 1 year deal. Mm-hmm. Those guys will still get some money, but like, you're not making the huge free agent signing. All those happened faster than ever this year. It was Monday, Tuesday, and the market was wiped out. With Cooper Kupp, again, where would the Cowboys get that money? I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying I am not under the impression, based on the people I've spoken to, that that's going to happen in Dallas. And so their splash seems to be what it's been in recent years, which is we've got a really top-heavy roster. We're paying Dak Prescott $60 million a year. We're paying CeeDee Lamb $34.5 million a year. And if we're going to pay Micah Parsons, that now, by virtue of the Myles Garrett contract, is going to have to be 40-plus. I would be surprised. Anything's possible, but I would be surprised if Micah Parsons is willing to take something under $40 million per year. Because every time the market gets reset, even by a substantial amount, you're still trying to outshoot that. It's always possible. It could be like CD last year, and it comes in at 39.5, right under like CD did with Justin Jefferson. But the point is, all of a sudden then, if you add that up, and if you got a $40 million pass rusher, a $35 million receiver, and a $60 million quarterback, that's $135 million a year cap on three guys. And so that then challenges you to figure out how you're going to put all these other pieces in place. They've not been an active free agent team in recent years. And I can tell you, we reported this on Super Bowl Sunday, there have been internal conversations about whether or not it's the right thing to do to pay Micah and have that third player that makes you a truly top-heavy type of cap situation, or do you trade him for a boatload of picks and be able to spend that money elsewhere? The thing is, and this is the running theme with the Cowboys, if you were going to do that, if you were going to trade Micah and free up all this cash and cap, you'd like to think you did that a week ago. You'd like to think you did that before free agency. because now there's nobody to spend that money on this year, unless, again, you're going to make an additional trade and bring somebody in, or it's part of a trade, whatever it might be. The Cowboys' plan, in essence, seems to be we're doubling down on Dak and CD, and to the extent that Mike is going to be there, Micah Parsons are the leaders. They're the ones who are going to make the plays, and we're going to be able to get guys on a little bit of a discount to come to Dallas because they want to be Cowboys and supplement, and then we're going to draft. I mean, they have drafted well over the last however many years it's been since they stopped trading away, you know, first-round picks for players. You know, they've drafted pretty well, and a lot of those guys played. Like, six or seven rookies started games for them last season. You're going to be relying on those guys. You're probably going to be starting rookies again this year. So, you know, it's hard because, and I understand this too, if you're a Cowboys fan, you're looking at the Eagles, who on Super Bowl Sunday absolutely dismantled the two-time defending champion Chiefs. And you looked at their roster, even though they've had some attrition since with guys like Milton Williams moving on, that's a hell of a roster. And you're watching the Washington Commanders, who are going, we got to catch up with the Eagles. We got to make trades. They traded for Lattimore last year. They traded for Debo. They traded for Tunsil. They're doing all kinds of stuff. And the Cowboys fans are going, why aren't we doing anything? It's just, it's different. It is different when you have a $60 million quarterback versus having a quarterback on a cost-controlled rookie deal like Jaden Daniels. But the mentality is just different. Those days of Jerry going, to use a word that we used all last year, all in, and trading for whether it's a Roy Williams or an Amari Cooper or whatever, those days appear to be gone. They made a couple of low-end trades for former first-round picks a couple of days ago where they traded for Kenneth Murray, who, if they didn't trade for him, was probably getting cut. They traded for Kyer Elam, who was a former first-round who had like 12 starts over 3 years with Buffalo. Again, a low-end type of guy, but you're hoping, you're betting the upside like they did when they traded for Jonathan Mingo. But these are not, you know, they're not the exciting moves. They're not the splash. And I just don't know that the Cowboys, as strange as it is to say, are a splash franchise anymore.
Tom, thank you for the time. As always, you be well. Have a great weekend. You guys want to say goodbye to Tom?
See you, Tom.
Bye, guys. I'll see you in a month.
All right.
He's coming out here in April. There's a 3-day stretch.
Let's go.
And appreciate it, Tom. You be well.
Appreciate it, Richie.
You got it. That's Tom Pelissero.
Tommy P.
I'm a beer guy.
Chat with him again next week. Oh, I've got this certificate handy, sir.
Listen,
not a splash franchise
anymore.
Whew. Why? Is anyone surprised by any of this? Because I know I'm not. We can sit here and try to be shocked, but we know what's going on. They're not serious about
release of fandom. Got them. Oh, I've got this handy for later on when we talk about Tank Lawrence and Micah Parsons.
Like I said, I'll consider signing it when you sign yours.
It's marvelous.
My son.
Let's do a swap.
You want to root for the Jets? I'll root for the Cowboys?
No.
I might be calling another Jets game this year, so my impartiality starts now. Until Rodgers signs with the Vikings, I'll lose my crap.
Let you tell it.
All right, we'll take a break here. 844-204-RICH. Phone lines are lit. We've got the play of the week as well.
This is a mini meditation guided by Bombas. Repeat after me. I'm comfy. Comfy. I'm cozy. Cozy. I have zero blisters on my toes. Blisters. And that's because I wear Bombas, the softest socks, underwear, and T-shirts that give back. One purchased equals one donated. Now go to bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/listen and use code LISTEN at checkout.
I can say to my new Samsung Galaxy S25 Ultra, hey, find a keto-friendly restaurant nearby and text it to Beth and Steve. And it does, without me lifting a finger, so I can get in more squats anywhere I can. One, two, three.
Will that be cash or credit?
Credit. Four.
Galaxy S25 Ultra, the AI companion that does the heavy lifting so you can do you. Get yours at Samsung.com. Compatible with select apps, requires Google Gemini account. Results may vary based on input. Check responses for accuracy.
Let's start with Bobby Boucher, and we'll put our own Rich Eisen Show draft profile up.
Boucher primarily lines up as an off-the-ball linebacker. However, they will use him off the edge in some obvious passing situations. Against the run, he's very aggressive to fill and attack blockers. Doesn't use his hands to shed, preferring to simply lower his shoulder and power through blocks. Has the range to make plays sideline to sideline. He's an outside outstanding blitzer, showing timing burst and a violent finish.
Yep.
He will need to abandon the drop kick at the next level. I don't see him being the primary signal caller or communicator, but his play instincts are exceptional. Overall, Boucher plays a lot bigger than his size, should be an immediate impact player on day one.
Wow. Interesting. Moving on to Johnny Utah. Quarterback of the Ohio State University.
Utah's a wild card in this draft, doesn't have a lot of film. Has average athleticism and an awkward three-quarter left-handed delivery. His best traits are his toughness and competitiveness.
Yeah.
Never gives up on a play. He'll fight for every yard as a runner. He's a little too high on the board for me right now.
Okay.
He's got to go down. It's got to be that way. I would consider hiring him after his playing days are over. He could have a long career associated with the game, either an outstanding coach, a prominent scout, or a special agent.
Okay, next up, Willie Beeman, quarterback, University of Houston.
Sure. Beeman, a little bit of a late bloomer. He's originally a seventh-round pick, bounced around to four different teams. He's since settled in and emerged as a dangerous playmaker as both a passer and a runner. He's at his best when the play breaks down, using that athleticism to extend plays while keeping his eyes downfield. His immaturity is an issue, and I believe there is something to the rumors about his poor relationship with his star running back. I think it's important for his coaches to understand how to best use his skill set. The lack of RPOs is a major mistake. He'll excel in the right system and should emerge as the best player in the league. He's my number one player.
Wow! Last one, I'll be honest with you, I'm partial. One of the greatest kick returners I've ever seen from Alabama, Forrest Gump.
Gump is a dynamic kick returner for the Crimson Tide. He's made an impact in plays in every game that I've studied. He's the definition of straight line fast. Lacks elusiveness and make missability, but it doesn't seem to matter. He gets up to top speed immediately and destroys pursuit angles. I like to see him involved in the offense because I believe his speed would play well on jet sweeps, reverses, and vertical takeoff routes. The trainers told me that he's had some durability issues as a young kid, but they haven't had any issues at Alabama. The head coach worries about his ability to learn and grasp concepts. He even actually referred to him as a stupid SOB when he was talking to me. I wouldn't be ping-ponging him back and forth between positions. He'll be a good soldier, provided you surround him with a good lieutenant, and I'd be shot in the butt to draft this kid.
Daniel Jeremiah!
Well
this
done.
This is why we DJ. Called you, DJ. Oh, we love Daniel Jeremiah, do we not?
Such a good segment.
We did that with Jay Billis for college basketball, for hoops, too.
We did.
And we'll play that maybe next week. It's March Madness.
Can we get Passan to do the ahead of the baseball draft?
Maybe we'll do that. Maybe we can do that. Michigan State's up 5 on Oregon in the Big Ten Conference tournament. Cooper Flagg, he's not playing today, right?
No, John Shire said it was already said extremely unlikely.
Okay. Yeah. So, it's championship week, baby. Sunday, the brackets come out, and that's when my kids fill out the brackets, and it's they want to win. And they're like most of us, just shooting darts at a board.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's the way it works, isn't it? The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event. Get deals so right it almost feels wrong, everybody. Now is the best time to get that Hyundai car or SUV you've always wanted. Plus, every new Hyundai comes with America's best warranty in 3 years or 36,000 miles of limited complimentary maintenance. Don't think you can get away with all that? Think again. But don't wait. The Hyundai Getaway Sales Event is going on right now. So visit your local Hyundai dealer today. It's a great day for a new Hyundai.
Hyundai.
We all love great stories in sports. People that you just turn on TV you've never really seen play before, and they just capture your fancy, and you just root for them, and you want to keep rooting for them, and you never know when this new face, this new player, is the next great one. You're always looking at seeing this emerge. March 21st, 2008. The anniversary of that's coming up next Friday. Why do I bring this date up? Well, there was a kid who stepped on the floor in the NCAA tournament in a first round of 64 matchup against Gonzaga from Davidson, named Stephen Curry. Mm. And he dropped 40 on him. And I just remember watching him in this run and thinking, oh, my God, That's Dell's son, obviously, the first thing you'd think of. Mm-hmm. And he can shoot. And he's just this little guy who's a giant. You remember this run?
So skinny. Mm-hmm.
40 against Gonzaga.
So fun.
Then he bounced Georgetown with 30. Then in the Sweet 16, he beats Wisconsin. Davidson whipped Wisconsin 73-56. He scored 33. And then Kansas finally stopped the Cinderella story, but just by 2 points in the Elite Eight, with 25. And then Curry did it again next year for Davidson. Then he gets drafted, and yada, yada, yada. Last night, he became the first human being to come up with 4,000 three-pointers in professional basketball. Think about it. 4,000 threes, and that's our play of the week presented by Sleep Number as described by Tim Roy of 95.7 The Game.
Curry one-on-one. He loses the ball. Deflected away. Picked up by Moody. Back to Curry. Pump fake. Fly by. Three ball on the way. Number 4,000 for Stephen Curry, the undisputed author of the three-point rule book and the three-point record book, has added another chapter to his tome.
Think about it. 4,000 threes. 4,000 threes. And then the next closest guy is James Harden with 3,127.
He's never
going to catch Curry. Wow. Right?
Yeah.
Remember?
No one's ever going to catch
Curry. Remember the quaint days when Ray Allen was the king of it with 2,973?
Yeah. Yep. Then Reggie, right?
Damian Lillard and Clay have since passed Reggie. Of 2560. Lillard's got 2794. Clay 2667. Then there's LeBron at 2542. And you know who's after him? You'll never guess.
Oh, I know.
Who?
Kyle Korver.
That's correct. Why should I say you'll never guess when I got TJ Jefferson in my right? My bad.
Sir. I looked it up the other day, though. So
I was sleeping on you. Unlike Sleep Number.
Hey.
Sleep better together. Save 40% on the new Sleep Number Special Edition Smart Bed, limited time exclusively at a Sleep Number store, presenting to you the play of the week, which is Steph Curry, the kid from Davidson, all grown up,
cool,
with 4,000 threes and counting in the NBA. That's hour one in the books here.
It's wild. It's wild, too, TJ. We think about the 80s basketball. It's just so different, you know, the volume and the threes that were taken back then. We think of Larry Bird as a great three-point shooter. Yeah. 649 makes in his career.
Well, because the three-pointer came into being.
It just wasn't utilized back
when
then.
When did the three come into play? It came into play while Bird was a pro, correct?
The three started.
Am I wrong?
No, he had it his rookie year.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, you know, starting.
Oh, it was a different game, too.
Yeah, different.
I mean,
games.
Get it into McHale, get it into Parrish because, you know, you want to beat up Lambeer.
But they scored. 79-80 was, I think, the first
year. But they scored a lot in the 80s. The scoring was way high, but this just wasn't a part of the game.
Let me just speak as a Knick fan here who hated Larry Bird with a passion, an absolute passion. His best shot of his career was throwing the ball at Bill Laimbeer. God, that was the one time I loved Larry Bird, where I shared your love of Larry Bird.
I think all of us at that moment.
When he just said, screw it, I'm done with this guy, I'm going to throw it at the slee stack. But let's cleanse the palate. This was Steph Curry after getting his 4,000th three last night.
To have a clean milestone in 4K, that's obviously never been done before, but to have that moment in front of your fans like that was special. I could feel the energy and the buzz from the beginning of the game after I made my first three, even the second one I shot and missed. Like, it was an adrenaline rush, and they were with me every moment of the game tonight. And when that second one went in, I knew there's a lot of game left, so I try to not get too ahead of myself, but it was a special moment to feel that energy and allow them to enjoy that, you know, milestone and accomplishment with me.
And you know what? We could sit here and have the conversation of, will anybody ever do it? Or who the hell knows? Probably not. Okay. Will this record ever be broken? Probably not. Records are made to be broken. I get it. But the thing that really makes this special too is the Warriors are a factor right now. They've won 6 in a row. Yep. They're now 10 over 500. They've lost only once since Jimmy Butler's joined the team. They're the 6th seed in the Western Conference right now. Look.
And rising.
Out. They are real. And right now, spectacular.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what? Because this could have been, the Warriors are used to be, and Curry used to be, and remember those days, and No, this is like he's getting 4,000 in front of a packed house of rabid fans who feel it.
In games that you're counting.
Yes, sir.
11 out of 12.
Dude. I can feel it.
You know, I was there the day he got drafted. I was in the Garden, 2009.
Yeah, Knicks fans, we wanted him.
You wanted him. And yeah.
Couldn't get him.
So to see this, it's amazing.
Amazing. Another great story. Ahmed Hassanein coming up.